Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 9, Chapter 8, The Sons of Sagara Meet Lord Kapila Dev. So I'm going to read some of the verses starting from 14 that don't have purport, and then we'll chant text 17 together. So 14. Yo samanjas ityukta sa keshinyan ripatmajaha tasya putrom shaman nama pita mahaite rataha. Among the sons of Sagara Maharaj was one named Asamanjasa, who was born from the king's second wife, Keshini. The son of Asamanjasa was known as Amshuman, and he was always engaged in working for the good of Sagara Maharaj, his grandfather. Text 15 and 16. Asamanjasa atmanam darshayana samanjasam jati smara para sangat Yogi yogad vichalitaha acharan garhitam loke gyatinam karma vipriyam sarayavam kridato balan pashyad udvejayan janam. Formerly, in his previous birth, Asamanjasa had been a great mystic yogi, but by bad association he had fallen from his exalted position. Now, in this life, he was born in a royal family and was a Jati Smara. That is, he had the special advantage of being able to remember his past birth. Nonetheless, he wanted to display himself as a miscreant, and therefore he would do things that were abominable in the eyes of the public and unfavorable to his relatives. He would disturb the boys sporting in the river Sarayu by throwing them into the depths of the water. So, text 17, we'll chant together. Eva vrita parityakta pitra sneham apoya vai yogaishvaryena balams ta darshiyadva tato yayo evam vritta parityakta pitrasneham apoyavai yogaishvaryena balamstan darshayitva tato yayo evam vritta parityakta pitrasneham apoyavai yogaishvaryena balamstan darshayitva tato yayau evam vritta parityakta Pitra Sneham Apoyavai Yogaishvaryena Balamstam Darshayidva Tatoyayau. Evamrita Parityakta Vasnikam Apoyavai Yogaishvaryena Balam Sam Dashiyatva Pratoyayau Evamrita Parityakta Nasena Pratoyavai Ina Balam Stam Sayyidva Tatoyayau Evam Vritya Parityakta Nasmaya Madhoyavai Ina Balam Stam Yitva tato yayam Eva mritta parityakta Eva mritta parityakta Pratyata Eva Vayena Vavasa Vaishnavis. Chasneham Apoyavai engaged in abominable activities. Parityaktaha, condemned. Pitra, by his father. Sneha, affection. Apoya, giving up. Vai, indeed. Yoga Aishwaryena, by mystic power. Balantan, all those boys, thrown in the water and killed. Darshitva, after again showing them all to their parents. Tatayayau, he left that place. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Because Asamanjasa engaged in such abominable activities, his father gave up affection for him and had him exiled. Then Asamanjasa exhibited his mystic power by reviving the boys and showing them to the king and their parents. After this, Asamanjasa left Ayodhya. Purport. Asamanjasa was a Jatismara. Because of his mystic power, he did not forget his previous consciousness. Thus, he could give life to the dead. By exhibiting wonderful activities in relationship to the dead children, he certainly attracted the attention of the king and the people in general. Then he left that place immediately. Om Jnana Timurandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasudhi Gaur Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. So it's mentioned here that Asamanjasa was a Jatismara. That means he could remember his past life, or maybe even past lives. So normally a person forgets their past life, but in some cases, it's possible for a person to remember a past life, and such a person is called a Jatismara. And in Seattle, when he was giving a class in 1968 on October 11th, Srila Prabhupada was asked by one of the people at the class, is it possible for people to remember a past life? And Srila Prabhupada replied, yes, it is possible. And he gave the example of Bharat Maharaj as for that. Bharat Maharaj was a great king, but he was also very renounced. So he went to the forest. He gave up his position as a king, and he went to the forest to meditate and practice yoga at the end of his life. But although he had achieved a great deal of spiritual advancement by doing that, he had some residual material desires. And once, while he was sitting in the forest, he saw a female deer being chased by, you know, a tiger or a lion running across the river. And this female deer was pregnant, and while she was running, she gave birth to a fawn. And, you know, the king saw this fawn, and he became attracted to it and decided he had to save it, take care of it. I mean, ultimately, Krishna takes care of everything. Krishna is supporting every living entity. But he decided, I have to take care of this deer, and he became attached to it. And because of that attachment to the deer, he began to neglect his spiritual duties. Instead of, you know, thinking of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he was constantly meditating on this deer. So he came to the end of his life, and because he was meditating on this deer, he took birth as a deer in his next life. Yam yam vapi smaran bhavam tajat antikalevram tatad Advaita Kantiya Satatad Bhava Bhavitaha. Lord Krishna explains in the Bhagavad Gita, whatever one is concentrating one's mind on at the time of death is going to determine one's destination in the next life. So he became a deer in his next life. But he was in that life as a deer, Ajati Smaran. He could remember his previous life where he was practicing spiritual discipline. So he, because of that recollection, you know, the deer would always in the forest go hang around the sages that were there and listen to them and associate with them. And you know, because of that, in the next life, the soul of Bharat Maharaj, who had taken the body of a deer, got another human body as Judd Bharat. Of course, the whole story in the Srimad Bhagavatam, we won't go through the whole thing. But Srila Prabhupada was giving this example of Maharaj Bharat taking birth as a deer is an example of Ajati Smaran, because in his deer body he was able to remember his previous life as in a human body. And then Srila Prabhupada added an answer to this question. He said, there are sometimes reports in the newspapers that a child is dictating, I have got my home there. And when he goes there, he says, this is my son. Here I kept this thing in this box there. So there are many, many instances like that, Srila Prabhupada said. So Srila Prabhupada was indicating that occasionally, you know, a person may have, although may have a memory of a past life, although it's not the usual thing, sometimes it does happen. Like a child would be going through a city and see a house and say, oh, I used to live there, and then go there and point out people that he or she knew in a previous life. And maybe even go into the house and say, if you look in this box, you'll see this object that used to belong to me. So there are cases like that. Last month, you know, I was a speaker on a cruise ship that went to Alaska. In my line, I get a lot of unusual engagements. So that was one. You know, there was some spiritual group, you know, that was going up to Alaska on this cruise ship, and they invited different speakers, and I was one of them. So, you know, I was thinking what to speak about. So I had learned there was a tribe of Indians in Alaska called the Tlingit. And, you know, they have some beliefs that parallel some of the Vedic teachings. For one thing, they believe in reincarnation. So there are some... So I did a little research on some of the cases of, you know, reincarnation, you know, that they, you know, have in their community. And one of them had to do with a man named William George, who was a Tlingit Indian, but he was a fisherman. And, you know, he had a son, and he told his son, you know, after I die, you know, I'm going to take birth in your family, and you'll know me because I'm going to give you this watch. He gave him his gold watch and said, I'm going to ask for it when I come back. So so later the man died. As he said, he was a fisherman, so there was an accident at sea, and he died at sea. And shortly after that, his son's wife became pregnant. And during her delivery of the child, she had a very vivid dream of William George Sr., her departed father-in-law. And when the child took birth, they looked at it and they saw it had the same birthmarks on it, that this William George had. He had particular birthmarks on his body, and the child had, the same ones. And this William George, he also had a limp. And when the child grew a little bit older, he had the same limp. And then when the child was 5 years old, he went into his mother's room, and his mother was there with her jewelry box. And he took the jewelry box, and he picked out of it the watch and said, this is my watch. So this is a case that was studied by a scientist, a Dr. Ian Stevenson, who was investigating cases like this. He also investigated some cases from India. There was a little girl named Shukla Gupta. She's about 4 years old, something like that. And she had this doll that she would play with, and she called it Minu. So, "Oh, Minu, how are you today?" And and she began talking about Minu's father, who had two brothers named Ketu and Karuna. And her parents were kind of amused by this, but she was really fixated on it. She was insisting, "Minu is my daughter. Her father was like this. He had two brothers, and their names were this and that. And we all lived in a town called Bhatpara." It's in Bengal. It's between Mayapur and Kolkata. So she started insisting she wanted to go to that place. And she even became a little angry with her parents and was saying, "If you don't take me, I'm going to go myself. I'm going to run away and go myself." So the father was a railway worker, and he started talking to some of his friends. One of them was from, who were also railway employees, and one of them was in Bhatpara. That was his home. And actually the girl had not only said, "I lived in Bhatpara," but "I lived in a particular neighborhood there," and gave the name of it. So they learned from this man who lived there that, there was a woman who had a daughter named Minu who died a few years ago. So they took the girl to the city, and she started leading them through the streets to this particular neighborhood. And just like Srila Prabhupada is saying in his quote, he said, "Sometimes a child will point out a house." So she pointed out the house. "That's where I lived." And then they went in the house, and there were about 20 or 30 people in there. And out of those 20 or 30 people who lived in this big house, they have these multi-family types of residences in India. She picked out, "That's my daughter, Minu. That was my husband. Those are his two brothers, Ketu and Karuna," and everybody was just shocked. And then she led them upstairs and said, "This was my room, and there was a box in there." And she said, "If you open up this box, you're going to find three saris." And she described what the saris were. And they opened it up. The objects were there. But anyways, the point is that in the Vedic teachings, there is the phenomenon of reincarnation. Antavanta ime deha nityasyukta sarirana. The body is temporary, but the soul lives on. It's eternal. Dhruvam janram ritasya cha. For one who dies, rebirth is certain. So there's so many descriptions of the philosophy and actual examples of reincarnation given in the Vedic literature. As I said, the normal thing is that one forgets one's previous life, but in some special cases, there are people who can remember, and they're called jati smaras. So this asamanjasa was one of these jati smaras. And one of the things he was able to recall from his previous life was this power that he had, which is called Mrita Sanjivana. It's not mentioned here, but in other places in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Srila Prabhupada mentions this, this ability to bring a dead person back to life. You could see he was one of these problem children, or at least he was behaving like that, was throwing the neighborhood children into the river and drowning them. So, of course, he got a bad reputation by doing that, so much so that, you know, his father was going to exile him from the city, you know, kind of to satisfy the citizens. But because he was a jati smaran and had been a powerful yogi in his past life, he said, all right, you think I'm such a bad guy? You know, he brought all the children back to life, showed them to his father, showed them to their parents, and then, okay, now I'll go. Pretty dramatic. So there are other personalities mentioned in the Srimad Bhagavatam who had this power. One of them was Shukracharya, who we've heard about in the eighth canto. And he was the spiritual master of Bali Maharaj and others of the demon group. So he had this power of Mrita Sanjivana. And even one of the sons of Brihaspati, who was the spiritual master of the demigods, he wanted to learn. His name was Kaccha. We're going to be hearing about him later in this canto. He wanted to study this power of Mrita Sanjivana from Shukracharya. So he became his disciple and was learning this art. Shukracharya had a daughter named Devayani, and Devayani became attracted to him, to Kaccha, you know, to her father's disciple, student. And she proposed marriage to him. But Kaccha said, I can't do that. Your father is my spiritual master. It wouldn't really be right, you know, for me to come into your father's house and take his daughter as my wife. That I'm just not going to do that. So Devayani, being a little bit fiery by nature, decided, okay, well, I'm going to curse you. I'm going to curse you that your Mrita Sanjivana, that you're studying so hard, it will never work for you. So there. And then he cursed her back. you know, saying, you're never going to marry a Brahmana. Normally, in Vedic culture, a person of one station of life would ideally marry a person of the same station. But he cursed her. You'll never have a Brahmin as a husband. So later on in this canto, you'll hear all the details about what happened. You know, Devayani had a girlfriend named Sharmishta. Sharmishta was the daughter of a king named Vrishaparva. So she was a Kshatriya princess, and Devayani was the daughter of a spiritual master, Shukracharya. And actually, Vrishaparva was a disciple of Shukracharya also. But one day, Devayani and Sharmishta and their girlfriends were out playing around, wandering through the gardens, and they came to a bathing place, and they decided to go, you know, take off their clothes and go for a swim. But then Lord Shiva happened to ride by on his bull carrier, and they became embarrassed. So they all jumped out of the water and then hastily put on their clothes. But Sharmishta, by accident, put on the clothes of Devayani. And Devayani got really upset. What are you doing? You know, you daughter of a Kshatriya, lower class person. I'm a daughter of an exalted Brahmana. How dare you put on my clothes? So Sharmishta, being equally fiery in nature, got angry with her and threw her in a well. And then this king, Yayati, was going through the forest. He looked in the well, saw this girl in the well, put his hand down, and pulled her out. And Devayani told him, okay, you've taken my hand. That means you've married me. And this is Krishna. Well, this is the arrangement of the superior powers anyway, because I've been cursed that I can't marry a Brahmana, so you're a nice Kshatriya. I'll accept you as my husband. But in any case, it all grew out of this Katcha trying to learn this art of Mrita Sanjeevana, restoring the dead to life from Shukracharya. And Shukracharya actually did display this power. The demons and the demigods were constantly in warfare, as we see in the Srimad Bhagavatam. There are always battles between the demons and the demigods up in different planetary systems, on Earth, everywhere in the universe. So once the demons had been defeated in a battle, so Shukracharya brought them back to life, the ones whose bodies were intact. If their heads had been cut off or their limbs had been cut off, he couldn't do anything. But if they had been killed and still had intact bodies, he was able to bring them back to life by this Mrita Sanjeevana power. And there's another example where Maya Danava, the engineer of the demigods, displayed this power. You know, once the demons had been defeated by the demigods, so they went to Maya Danava and said, you've got to give us some weapons so that we can defeat the demigods. So Maya Danava gave them three flying cities, huge, just like sometimes you see in space movies, you know, these huge flying spaceships. So they were like that. One of them was made of gold, another was made of silver, another was made of iron. And using these three flying cities, the demons were able to conquer over the demigods. So the demigods went to Lord Shiva and said, "You've got to help us. The demons have these three spaceships, and they're defeating us everywhere." So Lord Shiva began shooting weapons at the spaceships, at the flying cities, and he began killing all the demons that were in these three flying craft. So Maya Danava made this, what's called Kupa Rasa, a well of nectar, and by putting the dead bodies of the demons in this well of nectar, they were restored to life by this Mrita Sanjivana power. So then Krishna and Brahma, actually Lord Vishnu and Lord Brahma, did something interesting. Vishnu turned himself into a cow, Brahma turned himself into a calf, and they went to the Kupa Rasa, and they started drinking up all the nectar. And Maya Danava and the demons saw them. They saw them. They saw it's Vishnu come and Brahma come, and they're drinking up all the nectar. And when they drink it all up, there won't be any more left, and we won't be able to restore any more of the demons back to life. But they couldn't do anything about it. It was like they were paralyzed. They could see it happening. It's described in the Srimad Bhagavatam, but you know, they couldn't stop them. It's like, it's them. They're doing it. So then Krishna gave Shiva some new weapons, a new chariot, new weapons, and Shiva actually completely destroyed the three flying cities, and he destroyed also all the demons, and this time they couldn't bring them back to life. So it was a victory for the demigods. And that's how Shiva got the name Tripurari. Tri means three, Pura means cities, and Ari means the enemy of. So it means like Shiva, the destroyer of the three flying cities. So this Mrita Sanjivana power is there. And actually, like all of us, you know, before we took up the path of Krishna consciousness, you could say we were like the living dead. You know, there's a phenomenon called zombies. Zombies are corpses that are walking around somehow. So the materialistic persons are like that, like living dead. Spiritually, they may be walking around doing this and that, but spiritually, dead. So Srila Prabhupada came to deliver the walking dead in this world. And you could say he had a version of that power, that Mrita Sanjivana power, to awaken the sleeping souls of Kali Yuga to their real life in Krishna consciousness. So some interesting concepts in the Srimad Bhagavatam: Jati Smaran, remembering past lives, Mrita Sanjivana, the power to bring people back to life. So I went a little over time, so I'll stop here. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.